A good Erev Shabbos. I still remember the excitement right after my wife and I had just gotten engaged. We were planning a wedding, finding an apartment, wedding outfits, her a dress, me a suit. But to be honest, not every part was so exciting. As a matter of fact, one of the most tedious processes in getting ready for a wedding is creating a wedding registry. Everything from broomsticks to towels, your registry has to include every essential but non-exciting item in your house. However, although walking around Bed Bath & Beyond with a registry gun for hours and hours on numerous Sundays in a row wasn't the most exhilarating experience, I did learn a lot during the countless hours that I spent in Bed Bath & Beyond. I learned new terms and words such as baster and accent pillows. For the first time in my life, I learned that nonstick, cast iron, and stainless steel are all different. I learned that a food processor just chops your food, and a KitchenAid is actually just the name of a company, not the term for mixer that weighs 4,000 pounds. However, perhaps the most enlightening experience was learning about the intricate and complex details in the field of bedding. Thread count, cotton versus microfiber, Egyptian cotton, Jersey cotton, different bed sizes, twin, full, queen, king. I learned about down comforters, faux down comforters, and my favorite, the word I had never used or heard before, and I still refuse to use today, duvet. But perhaps the most important item in the entire bed, even more important than the sheets, blankets, and mattress, is the pillow. After millennia of humanity putting their heads to rest on their arms, or if they were lucky, a pile of straw, we now have an endless selection of types of pillows that we can pick from. The shape. Do you want standard, super standard, queen, king, European, a body pillow? Filling choices. Feather, down, memory foam, shredded memory foam, polyfill, microbead, gel, latex. And we didn't even discuss the exact level of firmness that you might desire. Well, if you want to know which pillow is the best pillow for your glorious head to rest on for the night, then you have to take the time to lie your head and try out every single pillow in the store. To be honest, if you ask me what kind of pillow I want, I can describe it in one word. Fluffy. I would like to have a fluffy pillow. That's it. Simple. Fluffy. Nothing fancy, nothing luxurious or out of the ordinary. However, although only requiring a fluffy pillow may seem straightforward and simple, there are instances when even that is a tremendous luxury. At the beginning of our parsha, Yaakov Avinu was in the midst of running away from his brother Esav, and time had come for him to rest and stop for the night. And although I'm sure back in Be'er Sheva, where Yaakov lived with his family, he had a nice bed of sorts, tonight, on the run, in the middle of nowhere, he had nothing. No sleeping bag, no duvet cover, no blankets, not even a pillow. So Yaakov looks around to see what he can use to put together to try to make camp for the night. And the only thing he can find are cold, hard rocks and stones. So the Torah tells us that Yaakov takes the rocks to set himself up for the night. But what he did with the rocks is actually very unclear. According to the GPS translation, Yaakov placed the rocks under his head, almost forming a pillow of sorts. I guess if Yaakov Avinu ever had the chance to go to Bed Bath & Beyond, he would have opted for the very firm pillow. Excuse me, sir, what kind of pillow would you like? Well, do you have one that is as hard as a rock? However, from reading the verse inside in the original Hebrew, it isn't entirely clear that Yaakov placed the rocks or the stones under his head. Because the Torah wanted to say he placed the rocks under his head, it should have said, Vayasem tachas rosho. But the Torah doesn't say that. Rather, it says he placed the stones me'ra'asho sav, literally meaning from his heads. What does that mean? What image is the Torah trying to portray? Rashi notices this ambiguity and quotes an explanation from the Midrash. Yaakov did not simply place the stones as a pillow under his head. Rather, he placed the stones, Meirah Shosav, around his head. Why would he do that? What does that accomplish? Explains Rashi, to protect his head from wild animals. Yaakov found himself in the dangerous wilderness. He was not looking for a comfortable rock to rest his head on. Rather, he looked for stones to form a barricade. The 19th century Lithuanian rabbinic leader, Rabbi Simcha Zissel Ziv, better known as the Altar of Kelm, asks an obvious question. Have you ever gone camping? If you found yourself in close proximity to dangerous beasts, would you simply place something around your head to protect yourself and go to sleep? Of course not! Yaakov should have built an entire fortress. At the very least, he should have placed the stones around his entire body. Why just around his head? So the altar suggests Yaakov lacked the resources to properly fortify himself. He did the best he could, and with the rocks he could find, he built a makeshift fence around his head. A reasonable answer, but I wonder what I would do in the same situation. I don't know that putting rocks around one's head accomplishes anything. An attacking animal would probably go for the soft flesh, for the torso, not the head. I would probably cover the sides of my body, or maybe just put all the rocks on one side to make a wall or hide myself, but certainly not just cover my head. It seems that Yaakov was doing something different. He had something else in mind. Sometimes we ask ourselves, or each other, theoretical questions to consider our values. If you were stranded on an island and you were allowed only one item to have with you, what would you bring? If God forbid your house is burning and you can only save one item, what would you save? What item, what object is most important, most meaningful to you? An interesting question we can all ponder when we have some downtime. If an animal would attack a sleeping man in the wilderness, he wouldn't stand much of a chance. His chances of making out intact are minimal. But Yaakov thought to himself, if I can protect one part of my body, what will I choose? What is the most important part of my body? What do I need more than anything? And Yaakov, he chooses his head. He chooses his mind. Yaakov knew full well that if an animal attacked while he was asleep, he would most certainly be severely hurt and injured, if not killed. But if there's any chance of survival, if there's any possibility that he makes it out alive, even if he's crippled, God forbid, he needed his mind. He needed his head to be intact. Yaakov had no physical possessions when he fled from his home, but he realized he carried everything he needed with him in his head. Stored within it were the traditions, teachings, and legacy of his parents and grandparents. Yaakov understood that survival during the next chapter of his life would require him to protect his mind from external threats, and not just the physical ones of wild animals, but spiritual threats as well. Yaakov was symbolizing that sometimes you have to build a barricade around your head to protect yourself and what you hold most dear to your heart. Thank God we do not live in a world, in a society, where we are constantly threatened by physical dangers to our bodies and heads. But no doubt, the threats to our mind, the threat for distortion of our unique values as people of the covenant, exists today as much as ever. We don't run away, we don't shy away from the world around us. We make sure we do our part in protecting ourselves and our values. We protect ourselves with prayer, reminding ourselves numerous times a day of our personal connection and relationship with God. We protect ourselves with Torah study, continuing to engage our minds and souls with the divine word. We protect ourselves with chesed, imitating God, the ultimate benevolent being in the universe. We protect ourselves by being proud to be a Jew, no matter where we are. Tonight, and every night, when we go to sleep, we can enjoy our pillows and our thread counts. We must always remember that what is most dear to us and what defines us is our experiences, our relationships, and our values. We must strive to protect them and cherish them with all our hearts. I wish everyone a meaningful, restful, and uplifting Shabbos.